This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
This is The Morning Run, and you're here with Lynn Roshan and Noel. 7:46 in the morning, Wednesday the 13th of January. And while Malaysians certainly weren't prepared for the state of emergency that was called yesterday, business owners have been quickly executing plans to sustain their businesses during a time when an emergency order as well as a movement control order have been simultaneously put into effect.
I think the question is, where does this leave foreign investors, right, whose confidence in the country have been marred already by Malaysia's never-ending political problems, which have resulted in a weakened economy.
So especially when six of these states under MCO, Selangor, Federal Territories, Johor, Penang, Malacca and Sabah are the main drivers of the country's economic activities as well as major contributors to the country's GDP, where does that leave us? And we're asking that of DAP lawmaker and former Deputy Minister of the Malaysian International Trade and Industry Ministry, Dr. Ong Kian Ming, who joins us this morning. He recently criticised the Perikatan government for instigating political instability instead of boosting the economy. Thanks very much for speaking with us this morning, Kian Ming. First off, do you think an emergency order is necessary, especially after the announcement of another round of the MCO?
Good morning, guys. I think it's quite obvious to Malaysians that the emergency order was not necessary, given that the MCO 2.0 had already been announced on Monday. So when it came out yesterday on Tuesday that an emergency had been declared, I think many people saw that this was more for politics rather than for the health of the economy of the country.
Now, our political landscape and COVID-19 pandemic combo does not bode well for investor confidence. I think that's a sentiment that we're seeing. We're picking up on that. But that said, though, the Prime Minister assured us in his emergency address to the nation that the country is still very much open for business and that this order will provide stability for Malaysia needed for to help the battered economy, a stability that's been lacking for a few years, some would say. What are your comments to that, YB?
I would say that the stability is created by the very parties that are in power now, because we had a stable governing coalition under Pakatan Harapan, but that was disrupted by some of the people who are ministers, including the Prime Minister himself. So this is a bid that he made, so he should be willing to sort of like face the public and face Parliament. On the narrative of helping the economy, I think what the Prime Minister is trying to do is to say that under the emergency order, we would try to reduce the level of quote-unquote politicking in the country and focus on battling COVID. But if you look at the record of the government so far, I don't think that there have been any new ideas under MCO 2.0 in terms of battling COVID, other than to say that, look, we'll impose another lockdown, albeit one that's not so strict, and then we'll follow whatever we did before, which I think in this current case may not be as successful.
Now, Kemi, I do empathize with your points there on the instability caused last year, but the fact remains that is we have to look forward right now. And in this situation, we seem to have no good alternatives in front of us. If the Prime Minister goes to face Parliament, we go into another political limbo. Pakatan Harapan hasn't really set forward the numbers to take the Prime Ministership, right? I think Dato' Sri Anwar Ibrahim only has 91 people on his side here at this point. What are the real viable alternatives, if not the emergency at this juncture?
I think one viable alternative would be for the Prime Minister to reach out to work with the opposition, the strong, formidable and convincing opposition MPs and parties to say that, look, this is a global and also national pandemic. Let's try to face it together. May be willing to talk to the Prime Minister's coalition to say that, look, we won't destabilize the government. If, let's say, you concede certain things to us, and then you work with us in order to make sure that Parliament can be accountable, can use Parliament as a check and balance on some of the policies, which I think we think needs to be improved on the part of PM. So to use the emergency is really a cop out, and there are also larger questions on continued foreign investor confidence, because it has been reported as an emergency that's being implemented in Malaysia because of political instability, not because of COVID.
Has the Prime Minister communicated with the Pakatan Harapan and co about possibly bridging the divide over the last few weeks?
As far as I know, he himself has not reached out to Pakatan Harapan leaders. I think this is something that's quite disappointing, because remember, he himself made the offer of having some opposition leaders to be part of the National Economic Council in an interview in Astro Awani last year. But that offer was never followed up on.
Well, okay, so what more can the government do to support businesses and to remain friendly to foreign investors, you know, although with that emergency in the background?
I think this time, thankfully, the MCO 2.0 is not as strict as the one in March, but there will still be some economic impact, you know, for example, to the retail sector, to the F&B sector, which is going back to takeaway only. I think one thing the government could have done better this time, and they have had almost 1 year to learn, would have been to release the SOPs early. So once the Prime Minister made the announcement on Monday, the SOP should have followed immediately, not come up with the SOPs at the last minute. Yesterday, I think MITI only released their FAQs about 2 or 3 in the afternoon when people were already preparing to go back to work. And as far as I know, the detailed SOPs for the PKP were only released via a telegram, the official MKM telegram at about 10 or 11 o'clock at night. So this actually doesn't give our businesses a lot of room to maneuver and would definitely impact first quarter GDP growth in 2020.
And meanwhile, Kianming, the Ministry of Finance, the Minister of Finance has come out to say that they are engaging with chambers of commerce and other stakeholders in the country to see how best to work together and potentially facilitate more investments from these trading partners. What do you hope or expect to see out of these engagements?
I think it's good that the Ministry of Finance has clarified the statement by the Eurocham CEO to say that they will continue to engage with all relevant stakeholders. But I think it's not necessary for the Minister of Finance himself to sort of like boast about, continued high approved investments because, during this time, a lot of the approved investments won't be realized if, let's say, there are a lot of these kinds of obstacles, including continued uncertainty about closure of businesses under MCO 2.0 or that may be prolonged. So what the government needs to do, and it's not just the Minister of Finance, is to have better coordination across all ministries so that the kind of uncertainties and red tape and SOP guidelines that are not very concrete does not impede businesses going forward in 2021 when people are hoping for a recovery after a disastrous 2020. And this is the burden that all ministries have to face, not just the Ministry of Finance.
Now, the PN government, you said, has also failed in coordinating their efforts to fight the pandemic. And some examples, I think you gave in one of the articles, was how the MOE has adopted a one-size-fits-all education policy for all schools and how they were incoherent testing methods for migrant workers enforced by the HR ministries. What would you have done differently as a former member of the Malaysian government cabinet?
Yeah, so I think I'll start with the testing of foreign workers first. There was compulsory testing after the lifting of the first MCO 1.0 last year. And then it went quiet for long periods of time. And then now, because of the spike in the number of cases in factories and dormitories, then the compulsory testing had to be done again. So what I think we would have done differently would be to have subsidized testing for foreign workers so that they won't feel the burden, especially for smaller companies, and do it on a regular basis, just like how MPs had to go through, testing every 2 weeks when we were in parliament. You could have done it on a once a month basis for these foreign workers. And when you subsidize, it will be less costly to the companies. On the schools, I think we would have asked for schools to be open in the green zones. And this would have been a very important and useful test case because if we have SOPs that are tightened and also refined in green zones, then we could have entertained the possibility of having more school openings in places like yellow zones, for example, during this PKP, during this MCO 2.0. And unfortunately, we've missed that boat and many students are going to suffer on the 20th of January because they won't be able to attend school online.
I know so much has been happening. In your estimation, and of course, bearing in mind there's that vaccine that might be rolled out in the second half of the year, when can the economy realistically return to pre-COVID-19 levels?
I think the economy can probably start to only recover in the second half of this year, and pre-COVID levels, I will have to wait for probably another 2 or 3 years before the GDP can recover to what we were at in 2019. But hopefully things can go back to what we see as normal that we can recognize in 2022.
Thanks so much for speaking with us this morning, Qianming. That was Ong Qianming, DAP lawmaker as well as former Deputy Minister of International Trade and Industry, with his thoughts on the emergency as well as the MCO 2.0, which of course we're seeing the first day of the MCO in effect this morning. And he's of the opinion that we'll only really see the economy come back to pre-COVID levels at about 2022, understandably. Hopefully, I think this will also be predicated on when we see a vaccine rollout on a wide scale basis, I think.
Yeah, but it's also a big concern about how these uncertainties in terms of when the economy comes back online, when it shuts down, when lockdowns come into place, how that structurally changes the structure of the economy, right? Because end of the day, we understand, or at least I understand, the need to have certain movement restrictions. But what is the benchmark for that? Is it number of cases? Is it the R0 level? Make these barometers and metrics clear so that we all understand the risks posed to all of us. If you had a R0 index publicly available and we saw it go up, the public would be aware that, hey, if we reach this level, we're going to face another lockdown, right? Communicate this to us and show us basically, if you want to train people to do something and based on the consequences, you have to show them the reasons why something happened. So I'm hoping that's something that we start seeing from the government.
I think the upside of having this state of emergency is that it does buy us some time, or rather it buys Tan Sri Muhyiddin some peace of mind to just govern the country without having to deal with all the whims and fancies of opportunistic politicians. I think the downside is naturally people have concerns. Is this going to block the natural course of democracy, right? And also, I think fundamentally, we cannot run away some questions that we have on the political front. We don't have a strong party with a moral leadership to lead us. And on the economic front, we still have some really strong structural problems that we need to deal with.
And Noel, that's exactly what we asked all of you on Twitter this morning. What do you think about the emergency declaration? 14% say it's needed for stability. 7% said needed to fight COVID-19. 65% are concerned about democracy, Noel. And 14% are not sure. And that's going to be that dichotomy we see, right? There are going to be a lot of people who are concerned about the impacts to democracy going forward. But there are people who are worried about the economy and stability for sure. Because just yesterday, we saw another MP backtrack from the Perikatan National Coalition.
Well, we're going to be getting the other side of the story as well this morning, speaking with Wan Saiful Wanjun, Information Chief for Bersatu. So that's going to be happening later on at about 8:45. So be sure to stay tuned for that. That's happening after the Breakfast Grill, which is coming up next. Well, I'll be speaking with Dato' Ho Hon Sang, CEO of Marsing Group. Be sure to stay tuned. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.